This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up later on in the show, we will check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He joins us each and every Wednesday on the show. That's coming up at 12:30. We're also a day out from the Masters, so we'll talk a little Masters today. Let's call our shot on who's winning this thing. Maybe make a bet or two, some of our favorite bets. We'll also get into the discussion we had during the bullpen session before our show started. I think maybe Fesco and Dusty were talking about it as well. We won't start our show with it since they were discussing it a little bit, but Drew is overly confident on his golf abilities.
I think. They're both nuts.
Very confident in his golf abilities. Nuts. It's kind of crazy.
They always just make, like, every golfer always just makes it sound like, I'll just come down and hit it straight.
If you give me all the time in the world.
Yeah, you give me all the time in the world, I'll hit
the range and get my swing down.
If this is a groundhog day scenario, fine. You can shoot it.
We'll get to it later.
Outside of that. Like, not kidding, I would bet whatever's left in my 401k, you cannot shoot under 100. Every cent that's remaining, I would bet on you to shoot
over. If I get the chance, dead serious, we can go toe-to-toe, I will break 100 at Augusta, and so you will owe me everything. I'm dead serious.
We will get to this, but if you got, obviously you can tell Drew's fired up about it. He says he can break 100 at Augusta at some point here when we get into the Masters.
From the professional tees. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
In Masters conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So...
That was stunning to hear. It really was.
No chance. I mean, just, I don't even know. I don't remember what Drew said.
It's good to be confident, though.
You know what? Actually, that's a good point. That is an important part of life, generally speaking. So, you know, we'll give him that. It is good to be confident.
you guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And yeah, we will get to the Masters a little bit later on in the show, and in fact this hour as well. But let's start with the Royals, because they're above 500. They now are in position to potentially even win the series tonight against the Minnesota Twins. And the number one thing from last night for me was Cole Reagans has showed he is exactly where he was at last year. Every bit as dominant as a season ago, in which he was top three in strikeouts in baseball, in which he was an all-star, in which for a little while there, he was a legit Cy Young candidate as well. All of that is in play again for Cole Reagans, who was one off of his career-high 12 strikeouts. He had 11 last night. He had, 10 through 5 innings yesterday in a game that he needed to be amazing, because we knew going in it was a pitcher's duel. We said yesterday when Pablo Lopez was on the mound for the Twins, oh, this can be a low-scoring game. This is going to be a pitcher's duel, and you need your ace to be your ace. And that's exactly what Cole Reagans was. He now in back-to-back outings has shown he's on the same level that he was all last year.
When you mentioned the fact that they could win the series tonight, it's probably important to remind people that it is a four-game series. Winning 3 out of 4 in a four-game series is a massive swing across the board and makes for a pretty significant difference when we're talking about being able to get it. I think the most important thing to come out of that game yesterday is, once again, Cole Reagans is a legit, not just, he's a legit Cy Young candidate again. he's going to finish top five in the Cy Young again. So for back-to-back years, they're going to have a guy to compete for a Cy Young, the same guy, two different years. And look, I don't think Lugo's going to finish in the top five of the Cy Young this time around. But the idea that Cole Reagans can be in the actual conversation 2 years in a row, and it appears we're already there, is a great sign. The easiest part about it, and you're like, well, has it gotten any better? Or is it exactly the same? Better, actually, in the early going, because he's striking at about 33%, I think, of every hitter he's facing. And I'd like to point out that he's walking 6%, which is quite a bit lower than he has been in any other point of his career. And you, Gold, remember, because we had a conversation with him before the season started, hey, man, what's the one thing you worked on the most this offseason, Cole? What was his answer? Walks. He wanted to be better about putting free runners on base, which now he's doing in addition to it. So once again, Cole Reagans is a Cy Young candidate. And for a pitcher that had the kind of like lack, not pedigree, obviously he thought he had talent, but because he hadn't really pitched much, you couldn't ever be sure that this was just going to repeat itself every year.
I know we had the conversation last year, you know, just how good was this trade that J.J. Piccolo and the Royals pulled off with Chapman, and you end up getting Cole Reagans. And we knew it very quickly that that was an unbelievable trade. And then this offseason, Cole Reagans gets the contract extension, and they take care of him. He gets a nice pay raise and everything, and it's still, I think, a very, very team-friendly deal involved with that for Cole Reagans, but he gets some financial stability for a guy that's had some injury history. The longer this keeps going, like, we already knew it was the best trade and best move in the J.J. Piccolo era. This is now getting closer and closer to being, dare I say, the best or second best move trade-wise in Royals history. Yeah. Not just in the J.J. or Dayton Moore era. I'm like, trade-wise, not draft pick or anything. No, we're talking about for a trade. It might be the best one we've seen in this organization's history.
It's too early. You have to have like it has to like work for longer.
I hear you.
If it continues to work at this rate, it is absolutely the best trade in Royals history. It's already one of the best trades in Royals history. We know the James Shields one eventually led to a World Series title. So there's some weighted part of this versus, but you only got Shields for a couple of years. You then got your Royals Hall of Fame closer in Wade Davis right out of the deal as well.
That's the answer right now. That's the answer right now.
I think
now.
That is the answer right now, and it led to an eventual World Series title. This one doesn't have to lead to a World Series title in my mind. You might have gotten a Cy Young Award winner for a four-month rental of an aging reliever. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. That's like the person who traded the toothpick into a house after 12 months. Like, it's like that level of deal. It is, you started with nothing and got the world. Like, if this works out to the level it continues to, yeah, I don't think you can do any better in a trade. It might be the best trade in Major League Baseball in the last 5 years out of any team. And that includes like trading for Tatis and stuff. I don't know.
I also think last night, and this includes Pablo Lopez too, last night, that game is an example of how a game can be ultra entertaining and it can be a pitcher's duel. I know a lot of people love offense, right?
Oh, that was good.
And we all love seeing home runs and everything. But that was a hell of a baseball game last night. In a game in which the Royals had, what was it, three hits to be able to get the win?
Yeah.
That's not something you typically are going to find a way to win games when you do that. But when you have Cole Reagans on the mound, it's possible. It's a pitcher's duel. That was really, really fun to watch. And Cole Reagans, we've known this now for over a year, but every single time out, you know you can win no matter what. Whether you get three hits or you get 10 hits. Cole Reagans is going to give you a shot to win every single night out. That's what an ace does of a staff. And I know there's some other guys on the staff you're confident in as well, but there's a reason why he's the opening day starter 2 years in a row. There's a reason why he got the nice little extension this offseason as well. And
yeah.
He's right now looking like the guy that was pitching in mid-June, mid-July of last year. Like right away. He had the opening day, right? Wasn't as sharp. That looks foolish at this point in time, right? To be worried about that. Any of you that texted in that day, like, oh, I don't know. No. The last two outings, he looks like the Cy Young guy again.
I mean, I thought he was going to strike out 20 the way that game was starting last night. What do you have, 9 strikeouts through 4 innings or something? 7 through 3? I don't remember the exact numbers now, but I mean, it was crazy. And I think Why Not pointed out on Twitch, it's kind of like it was a pitcher's duel, but there were runners on base. So Correa would hit the leadoff double, and then Reagans would go strikeout, 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 or whatever. So there were threats, which I like. And again, they won in a way that is sustainable. Cole Reagans dominates, and they're like, well, how do you get the runs if the other guy, because Pablo Lopez is really good, how do you get to the other guy? And the answer eventually was, you made one little mistake against Bobby Witt Jr., and all of a sudden he was standing on third. And Vinny Pasquantino's single greatest quality, I think, as a hitter is, He understands that it is a job. Sometimes it's a hard job and it's a lunch pail and whatever. It's a job to get runs home. It doesn't matter how pretty or ugly or how you do it. And I understand he flew out earlier in the game when the bases loaded because you're not going to be successful 100% of the time. But it is a job. And so his job in the eighth inning there is get one guy home. Bobby Jr. is real fast. If I put this ball in play, it doesn't matter where the guy's playing at first. If I put it in play, Bobby is likely to score here. And that's all he did. He grounded out to a guy playing in, and they still didn't get Bobby Wood Jr. out.
Yeah, Bobby's speed is why that ball, why like the pitcher was rushing it, because he knows Bobby's capable of making a very close play at first. He rushed it, and then obviously Bobby took over on the base paths, and that in its own right is also extremely fun to watch. Look, it's early and everything like that, but you look at the 6-5 start now for the Royals, and then you go into, you know, the games that they lost, a couple extra inning games, very close games. There's been what, out of the 11, maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. There's been what, one game where you like truly thought they couldn't win, like after a few innings? Like they can obviously win any night, but you know what I'm saying?
One?
Like, there's like,
yeah,
one game,
just
where, one game where,
kind of
where
like
you're
a
like,
runaway?
Okay, it's just one of those nights
that
at
like
the ballpark.
6-1 game they lost or whatever, and they were down really early.
Yeah. Like going in, of course, you can win any game, but I think that was the only time out of the first 11 where like, okay, they really aren't in this game. Every other game, they were right there in it, and now they've won three in a row, and importantly, it's been against a couple division wins here, I should say, against Minnesota to open up the week. And yeah, man, I think last night was one of those you feel like you stole one too because the back end of the bullpen wasn't available.
Yeah, you did it with Schreiber and out from Lynch, yeah. And Zerba, yeah, pitched the seventh, I think, right?
He was warming up. Did he come in? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Zerba pitched the seventh.
Yeah. So you did it without Urseg, and you did it without Harvey, and you did it without Estevez. That also made it impressive. Think about everything that had to come together last night. Divisional opponent, three hits. You didn't have your best bullpen guys. They had their ace on the mound. Your pitcher was better.
I mean, it's not a game you're supposed to win. When you get three hits and two runs, that's a loss a pretty good chunk of the time.
Well, like the bullpen to slam the door like that was really impressive in a game where they had no margin for error because of the lack of offense you were going to get.
No. And again, just sometimes you need an ace to outduel. Like you need an ace to always keep you in every game, but you need aces to win you games you shouldn't win, right? You're supposed to win games with them on the mound sometimes when you only get two or three runs, which is what he did once again. And you're right. The back end of the bullpen thing, I thought it was going to go, I thought they'd do Zerpa, and I thought they'd get to Lynch sooner. They saved him for one out.
Yeah, I think Q was asked about that. I believe the answer he gave, I was listening post-game last night, they wanted to potentially save Lynch. If the thing went to extras, like they wanted some length in the bullpen at that point in time. So yeah, maybe that's why they held off on Lynch a little bit longer, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, especially in a game that close, you're probably not going to risk it. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't nervous about Schreiber getting a couple more outs.
He makes
there,
it interesting, but you know what? He also can get out of those jams.
He stresses me out. He stresses me out.
Give him credit, though. Five outs last night. That was really that was impressive.
Yeah. Oh, it was. He did a great job. I mean, again, the bullpen is... Schreiber would have been their seventh inning guy for parts of last year. Like, the idea that they have the ability to, like, in one game need him, and they answered the... Like, they, you know what it is. You don't always answer the bell. In this case, they did. Hey, we were hoping to use you in a game that wasn't 2-1 in the eighth inning or 1-1 in the seventh, but we need you, so can you be good today? You can be bad the next time when we're either down 7-1 or up 7-1, but can you be good today on a day that the rest of the bullpen isn't available? Because the Royals are in the middle. Aren't they in the middle of a, like...
17 straight games.
Yeah. So, I mean, the bullpen's going to be kind of a challenge to navigate over the next few weeks anyway, just based on what that alone, I would say. It's a bit of a challenge, but Drew, I do see that you're talking to a lot of people on the text line.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. We'll got to talk about this later.
We'll get to the Masters, man. Drew's going back and forth with people, arguing about what they could hit at Augusta. This is a classic sports argument of among friends, you know? Yeah. Like, I could easily do this.
I know, but I'm dead serious.
I know you are.
I'm dead serious on my end. What's your working handicap?
Like right now, if I went out and played, what would my handicap be?
Yeah.
For 18 holes.
Yeah. That's a handicap. You're asking weird questions. If I ask any golfer what's your handicap, you know what I'm asking. Like, I assume you keep your score in gen or whatever, and you have a functional handicap. Like
right
an
now,
handicap.
Probably a 7 or an 8.
Okay. I haven't played golf with Drew, so I don't actually know.
Oh, I know Drew's really good at golf. I still don't think he's breaking 100 Augusta, but I know Drew is very good at golf.
I could bogey 9 holes. I could double bogey 9 holes, and I shoot a 99.
So we'll get to it. But you know,
it's too up. Take, I don't take, even have a, to get a par, and I can
take
still
a deep breath. The text. I mean, it's you came in hot. Came in hot.
Oh no,
Dusty! Dusty irritated you a little bit, is what happened.
No. In fairness,
you came in.
I said what I said, and everybody else is responding or saying something to me about it. So that's why I'm responding. I'm not going at people just recklessly.
913-586.
Speck and I think that we could do it. If you gave me a month straight to grind at the range and get things dialed in, I can break 100.
Let's ask the I know a couple of scratch golfers. I'm curious what they say about their game.
Let's talk some NFL for a second though, because Pro Football Talk was discussing the future of scheduling in the league with a former NFLPA executive. And this has been rumored for a while. We know once they went to 17, then we were not far away from getting to 18 games. And once we get to 18 games, we're not far from getting to 19 or 20 games, right? We know how this is working with the NFL. In the interview with a former NFLPA executive, he said he expects the 18-game NFL schedule to start before the CBA is up. The CBA
going to wait that long?
The CBA is up in 2029, right before the 2029 season. He says it's happening before then. Remember, we're entering the 2025 season, so it's not happening this year. The earliest it could happen is the 2026 year, and he says it's before 2029. Wait, it's trailing. Why should I think that's not going to happen in 2026 then? The fact that this is already being discussed the way it is, I have a feeling in 2026 we're going to have an 18-game, 19-week schedule or however they're going to do it. And at that point in time, the players, you know, will get something back in return. What they're going to knock preseason down to two games? One game?
I mean, if you're not getting something in exchange for this, why are you agreeing to it? I think the NFL has decided, hey, we are giving you this money. Like, the cap will go up and you'll make more money and a bigger salary. But like, for the players who are actively playing, that's going to come later. And some of those guys have already been paid and now they're going to be asked to play these additional games. And that extra money is really going to go to some 19-year-old playing at Alabama right now. Not me. So I'm going to have to put my body at risk in my NFL career sooner for some money that I'm personally never going to see. Like, can you at least raise the cap higher than the amount it should be now so that we, the players who would have to play these additional games, start seeing some of that money sooner rather than just waiting till the actual numbers go up? I think the huge reason for this is because the NFL realizes they currently, and they haven't for a long time, they have an inventory problem. They need the 18 games because of how much money they want from these streaming partners, and it's effectively becoming an inventory problem now. In order to fulfill the needs of Prime, Netflix, Hulu, whoever the hell wants in the live sports game, they don't have enough games without you and I sitting at like a Sunday noon slate. Like, what do they have, four games, and they all somehow have the Browns playing? Like, unless you want that, they realize that they're kneecapping themselves, and with an additional bye week, which is, again, they're not giving you anything. That's just something you have to have if you're playing 18 games. It just doesn't feel like, I don't know why you would do it unless the NFL's like, well, then we'll just hold out against you anyway. Because we know in the NFL it's a bigger problem than in other sports. They can't hold out as long.
They're going to get to 18 games. We've known this. It's going to happen. The question with this always is, at what point does it truly become too much? I know a lot of us already think 17 is too much, but I mean truly to where it impacts viewership. Because we could all sit here and say, I was fine when they played 16 games, or I was fine when they played now 17 games. But what's the cap? Because if they go to 18, you know 20 is not far away. But what is the number where you actually deep down believe it would hurt the product? That people would stop tuning in? That the product would really, really suffer? Maybe you think we're already seeing signs of that. I don't know. But what do you guys think that number is? 913-586-7965. Is it 20? Is it 22, as crazy as that sounds? What's the number where it actually becomes a true product problem and the product sucks and you stop watching a little bit?
I mean, I don't know that we're not already running into that. The average NFL career is 3.5 years. If you add an additional game to every season, we can safely assume that the average NFL career is now 3. So, like, quarterbacks may still be able to handle this because they continue to add protections in order to keep them mostly upright if they can. It's still a sport in which you can get hit. But like anybody else, defensive ends, like, you think about how quickly running backs get out of the league. Imagine if Christian McCaffrey's got to play two, like, then 4 years ago he had to play 16 games and he couldn't even get through 16 then. Now he's got to try to get through 18. What's his career?
Well, that's
like?
Where I wonder.
They're going to run running backs into the ground.
One, I think we're already starting to see this be an issue. But let's say the answer, eventually, the number is 20. That's where we get into the real load management conversation that we have in the NBA.
Which people don't like. They don't like them. Like the star player is not available.
If the league actually goes to 18, which they're going to, and if one day gets to 20, and let's say that's the cap, although I don't know if it will be, that's when I actually think you would see, and I would understand it, where teams would look at the schedule like the NBA does a little bit, where you would have players in a week 12 game that just don't play. Well, that's where the product obviously suffers.
I would give Travis Kelce one game off a month. Like, I do think you would have to, you know, I think you would be even more cautious about injuries. How about that? I think as you got this guy and he's got a little hamstring strain, he's probably sitting out an additional week, because the 18 weeks does buy you time to be worse early and make it up later, because there's more wiggle room. Part of the NFL season and why every week feels so important, and this is where I don't think they're thinking about it cannibalizing itself, is that there is pressure to win because there's only so many games you can afford to lose in order to still be in the playoffs. If you get to 18, what can I could probably go 9-9 and make the playoffs in a 7-team field. I don't have to get it all together early on. I can take an extra week with the running back or the defensive end or the corner or those guys outside those numbers, and I can figure it out. My big thing is, like, it's always the same stuff. They always complain, and they change all these rules, and they change the way the sport works, all in this mindset of player safety, and then they're just like, play more, which we know is the least safe thing they can do out of any of the things they're doing. You can tinker with the kickoff all you want. You can bring in the guardian caps and a million other things. If you add more games in which I can get hit, that's the least safe thing I can do. It'd be less safe than using a helmet from the 1960s or whatever, you know?
Yeah, like some of the text line says, the NFLers better hope the players don't get a stronger union. They can see an NFL strike.
They do have a bad union.
The one thing with the NFL, the reason why, out of all the sports, I'm always less concerned in today's present day makeup that we'll see a strike is, when there was the brief holdout or whatever, I don't know how many years ago that was.
It wasn't very long.
Yeah, it wasn't long because you run into the issue the Mahomeses and these guys have plenty of money. They could sit out a whole year, they'll be fine. They can sit out 2 years, they'll be fine. But you said it, Cody, the average career is 3.5-4 years or whatever. The guy that just finally made a roster that's making the league minimum or hasn't even got his check to make the league veteran, not even a veteran. I'm talking about the guy that's an undrafted. Look at Carson. Let's just use Carson Steele as an example. Imagine Carson Steele
or Pacheco,
any of those guys. You know, those are the players that can't, quote unquote, afford to just skip out on a whole season.
Well, I just told you how short their careers are. Yeah. Most of the NFL can't afford to sit out an entire season. It's like 20 quarterbacks, 20 wide receivers, 20 defensive ends, and then everyone else is like, no, I kind of need the next check to keep this thing going. I know it's more players than that, but it's not as many as you think. And so, yeah, they kind of have them over a barrel a little bit. And the idea that they're not even going to wait the 4 years, they're just going to try to supercharge this thing. It's going to be 2 preseason games. They should try to get it to one no preseason, eliminate it.
The concession will be knocking it down. If we had 4, now we're at 3. It'll knock it down to 2 preseason games. And you watch, the NFLPA, for job's sake, they'll ask for a few extra roster spots. So you'll have even the practice squad will get even bigger, or the 53-man roster will become a 56-man roster or something like that. More jobs, right? That something like that will probably be what the concession is, but the owners are already kind of, I feel like, willing to do that. They'll take that for an extra game and you know, an extra $100 million in TV revenue or whatever it is over 10 years.
Here's the problem. Textline said, hey, could they just add more roster spots? But like you mentioned, which is like, I don't know that works, because then the players who are in the league right now don't want less money.
But that's a big fight. The NFLPA is on the record of saying they want more roster. It's more like overall, it's more jobs for their members, right? Like if we're viewing it from that way,
I guess. I mean, you still keep it at 16. You go outside that number, but I mean, it is cannibalizing yourself. Like the extra money to go around because the 18th game in revenue gold doesn't exactly. It gets spread a little thinner. That's all. If that makes sense.
And I understand. Like this is always that when we talk money about with professional athletes, we always get texts on the like, oh, they make enough. Kind of. The one thing I always say, we're talking about the 1% of the 1% at their craft. And so you're right. Like the guy that's only making
that money last a really
the guy is only making $700,000. Of course, all of us would kill to make $700,000 for a season, for a year, right? But also, we're talking about they're literally at the high. Like if you're the best insurance agent on planet Earth, you should be compensated that way. That's basically what they are the best. There is 53-man roster. They are the best at what they do for a living. There's a reason why they're compensated the way they are. And then, yeah, after 3 years, they have no income coming in. So that's why they fight for what they're fighting for.
It's also like you don't consider it now, but like, let's say you make $1 million a year. The kind of players we're talking about, the short career is $1 million a year. After taxes, now we're at $700,000 a year. After I pay my agent, probably like $600,000 a year. Oh, and now I've got the overhead of like, I'm a professional athlete, right? So like, I have to do more things in order to keep my body up to shape. I have to hire trainers. I gotta pay Bobby Stroop, however much money I pay him the entire offseason and the things that come with it. You might be down to net $200,000-$300,000 a year. And I'm not saying that's not like a ton of money. It is a ton of money. And maybe don't buy the $2 million house on your rookie contract or whatever. And I don't think those guys are doing that, but it's for a lifetime money. It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think. And that doesn't include like, yeah, you probably need some financial literacy stuff to keep your friends out of your pockets or any other nonsense that comes with it. But yeah. I don't think it's ever quite as much as people, make it seem like it is like for the professional, like they have 3 year careers. It's really tough. It's been their entire life.
Wasting a year in your prime on the sideline instead of playing football. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I don't think.
Because then you might not have a job. Some other young player comes up.
I'm not worried about a strike happening in the NFL. Baseball in 2026, that's a different conversation.
Well, I think baseball's definitely.
I think baseball will be missing games in a couple years.
Unfortunately.
Football, I don't believe we will. We will be there.
Did we just recently go through that too?
Yes.
How long ago?
Well, COVID. Right after COVID.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get.
It was an actual strike. It wasn't COVID related,
but it was like the year after COVID. I think.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Remember having Whit Merrifield on the show talking a lot about it.
We had planned Cody and Gold opening day. They didn't miss much baseball. We planned Cody and Gold opening day, and baseball ended up starting like a week late. It went crazy.
It was,
a couple days late. It wasn't late. It did start a little bit late.
That's what it was.
And they started the year after COVID a little later than planned. Originally, the thought was like maybe they'd be able to get to 100 or 80 games or something, and they only played like 60. So,
all right, up next, thinking of baseball, we'll get right back into that. One thing that might be catching up to a certain Royals player, and
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So last night I saw a social media account for Caesars Sportsbook tweet out, a bettor in Kansas wagered $25,000. So someone in Kansas on the Caesars Sportsbook app wagered $25,000 on the Dodgers money line. So for those who don't bet, that means just the Dodgers to win outright. They were -190 versus the Nationals. 25 grand would have paid out $38,157.90. So somebody amongst us bet 25K on the Caesars app last night. By the fifth inning, was 8-0 Nationals. The Dodgers lost 8-2. The Dodgers have lost 4 out of 5, by the way. That bettor just lost 25K. Now, I hope that person, if you're betting 25K, I hope you are extremely wealthy.
Yeah, or cold. Yeah, it's bets otherwise, off. It's bets off, or yeah, you are.
You're Chiefsaholic 2.0, and you're robbing banks.
You're getting ready to drive down to Bixby to make sure you can make your next wager.
Because that's, anytime I see, like, they always tweet out, but that one was in Kansas. And there's not a Caesars Sportsbook retail location, physical location. So that is on the app. Somebody went on their phone or their computer, I guess, and dropped 25K on the Dodgers at -190, by the way.
Ooh, God, he wasn't even getting good.
And they got their ass kicked.
I mean, they got smoked. It was over by the fifth inning.
I don't know. The Dodgers lost 4 out of 5. They're human after
all. Oh, wow. They do bleed, huh? Mm-hmm. After all that? After that, what, 8-0, 9-0 start or whatever the hell it was?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember who pitched yesterday for the
I just didn't know.
All I know is James Wood, the very one of many very talented young players on the Nationals roster, hit a pretty impressive home run last night.
Well, that'll do it. That'll absolutely do it. No, I just like you got the money to burn, then you know if that's what it makes you to feel alive.
25K.
But you better have it to burn. If you're betting $25,000 on one, you know what could happen in a baseball game? It could be the team's ace versus that. This is the risk you want to take?
Out of all bets to make it 25K, money line base, 162 game season, the one of the best teams in baseball all year. You can go 100, you can get 100 wins, you're still losing 62 of them. That's the issue with doing a money line bet like that on a baseball game, to what you were saying, Cody. You could be a 100 win team. Best team in your league.
You're still losing 60 times.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, you're still losing a huge chunk of the time.
Anyway, saw that. Just crazy. I jokingly tweeted last night, which one of our listeners did that? Which one of you did it? Which one of you? Come forward, please.
And are you a bank robber or just like...
Loaded.
Flush. Can we come to your pool house or whatever? Like, I'm sure your mini houses.
Please join us for our Cody and Gold garage sale later this summer.
Yeah.
And bid on items.
Probably that the guy who kept buying all the stuff for the Royals broadcast one all those years.
Yes.
Drive up some of those bids, you know, really help us out. It's for charity.
That's right.
For the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, you know?
That's right. Man, oh man. So anyway, I saw that while I was getting ready for the Royals game last night. And yesterday he wasn't in the lineup, although he ended up playing. I'm talking about Hunter Renfroe because... Canna unfortunately hit the wall pretty hard there in left field, so they made a defensive adjustment later in the game. But Hunter Renfroe, it's one thing at the plate, and I still think at the plate he will at least get to a somewhat of a respectable level here, because that's just who he's been throughout his career. Like, I don't think he's going to hit like this all year. I know a lot of Royals fans are ready to move on, but hey, they're 11 games into the season. They're not DFAing anybody 11 games into the season. That would be a silly, silly decision for any organization to make.
Nobody really operates.
But I
like
will
that.
Say this: what is concerning me the most is the defense. What happened? Was that? It's one thing. If you're going to not hit right now, where's the defense gone? What's going on there? The arm doesn't look the same. Some of the paths that you're taking to get to the baseball in right field don't look the same. What's going on?
So I am not as confident as you are about the bat. I think what happened here is, I think Father Time met up with old Hunter Renfroe in the offseason and took a baseball bat to his entire body, apparently, and he might just be aged out of the league. Like, I hope that that's not the case. I hope for Hunter Renfroe's case that he does, and for the team's case, I hope he finds it here pretty soon. But if you watch him in the outfield right now, he does not look like a player who is moving the way I am accustomed to watching him move in his major league career. He has 5 hits. He's hit for no power. He's playing bad outfield. Like, and he had an okay spring training, so he'd have been like, well, I mean, you know, he looked pretty normal in spring training. What happened? I think Father Time. I think it just caught up, man. He is not a career, like, if you're like remembering Hunter Renfroe's career and you're trying to like make it something it wasn't, then you're going to run into trouble, right? He was always a career 240 hitter, 300 on base guy who had some pop. You know, he hit for 20 or 30 home runs. So, like, he was never, like, a world-beating player. He wasn't a perennial all-star. He's never been an all-star. So, like, I wasn't pretending like Renfroe was something he wasn't. But when you're a player like that, and then you get to be 33 years old, I think time might have just caught up on him.
It's
tell
weird,
me,
though.
Tell me what it is if it's not that. I mean, he's just off to a bad, really bad start.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a good answer for, like, what's caused it. All I know is during spring, we heard, like, not even the joking, like, best shape in their life thing. Remember, we had Vernon, Renfroe had lost, what was it, 15 pounds or something? 15, 20 pounds? Had lost during, you know, prior to spring training in the offseason, so maybe he was actually in the best shape of his life and all this kind of stuff. It's 11 games in. The defensive stuff scares me even more because I still think, I don't think he just randomly fell off a cliff where he just can't hit the baseball anymore. I really don't believe that. And I know fans do, but I don't. But the defense is what is making me think something else is going on. It's really bizarre right now.
Like, I went back through and looked at some stages in his career, and he had years like this, right? He's 27 years old in San Diego, and he hit .216 with a .289 on base. That year, though, he hit 33 home runs. So, I mean, he still had some other part. And again, he's always been at least a decent outfielder. That is the part that makes me think the aging more than the hitting, and that it's going to affect both. Because I watched him in the outfield last year, and I didn't think, look at that massive liability out there. The way he's playing right now, it's like, hey, man, if you're not going to hit, like, if it's going to take a little while for the bat to come around, okay, I'm patient, I can take my time, it's okay, whatever. Well, then you can't be a defensive liability. I can't be thinking it's a better idea to put non-outfielders out there or be, you know, taking away a bat altogether and putting Tyler Tolbert or some of these other options, yeah, or like moving things around and it's Mike Kellencenter and Isbell and Wright and all these other things. Like, I don't have to be thinking about things that deep into it. You got to be doing one thing well enough in order to stay in the lineup every day.
Yeah, from the text line, if we only had a young rock star that we could bring up to put in right field. Yeah, if they only had that young rock star that's played in right field, then I would be with you. He hasn't even played a single game in right field yet, and he's played.
Ever? He played in college, or he said high school. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm talking about the professional level.
Yeah. It was high school.
So yeah, like, and Jack Caglione hit another home run last night, and he's awfully impressive. We were going to talk about him actually here in a little bit because we asked JJ Piccolo about him yesterday. But it's I'm pretty sure I'm just going to stop reading the text. But we get it every single day. For those that saying they have someone that could play right field, they don't actually. They don't.
Gentry.
Caglione. They're talking about Caglione. When everybody texts in, they're talking about Caglione. They're not talking about Tyler Gentry. They're talking about Drew Waters. That, by the way,
Gordon?
Is who they are likely.
The
Nick Gordon was the kid
for?
They traded for from Baltimore. But acting like they have somebody in double A that could just jump in and play right, that is just factually inaccurate right now. Can we please pause a little bit on that? Like, that drives me crazy. We're 11 games into the baseball season, and we have people already saying, well, he could play better right field. He actually has never played right field, so how can you even say that? Caglione is probably going to be a stud. I cannot wait. Hell, spoiler, we might be taking a road trip to go watch him play as a station and as a show with you guys, spoiler, in a couple of weeks. So it's not that we're not excited, but can we please stop acting like they have somebody that has all this experience in right field that's just going to come up here and rake immediately when he's played in 4-5 minor league baseball games at the double A level so far this year and has not played a single one in right field?
We're definitely going to talk some Jack today. I definitely get your frustration over it because it's like, and again, this is Renfroe gets a month. I looked it up. I mean, look, Renfroe's played rough enough this year that I was like, oh, just as a quick reminder in case it keeps going south. And again, I hope it doesn't. I hope Renfroe finds his bat today and starts playing some better in the outfield and Father Time doesn't look like it's won the war. But did I look up this weekend? Did I look up what date they cut Omar Infante? Yeah. Did I look up what date they cut Hunter Dozier? Yeah. Did they have an additional year on those contracts after the year they cut him versus what they would have to do with Renfroe? They sure did. And by the end of May, Dozier was gone. And by the middle of June, Omar Infante was gone. So there's time. Renfroe has time to sort this out. All I'm saying is it looks like, I mean, to me, it just looks like a player who got old in a hurry. It's only, 11 games now for the Royals, so I don't want to just say that that's the end-all, be-all, and there's no movement outside of it, but at least that's the case. All right, we teased it, we were going to get to it. So before we give our official projections for the Masters and who we like to win and some of the stuff we can get into, we can get to some long shots or, like, some of the bets we like, maybe outside of that, like top 10 and top 20 a little bit later on in the show. Jerry, you went back and forth with a lot of people on the text line about your ability
to
shoot
today, boys.
To shoot 100. this isn't even meant to, like, I think sometimes you think of this is like attack on you. This is, I would say this to any golfer who's a 7 or 8 handicap.
Yeah.
I think you are grossly underestimating the thinness quality of some of those tee shots and how many putts it will take you to put the ball in the cup.
No, I totally understand the difficulty of...
The shots you're going to lose on out of bounds, I don't think you're considering.
If you give me a month, I don't expect to hit a ball out of bounds in terms of I can get the shot shape down where I know, okay, this is how I need to play each individual hole.
But pro golf, like guys on the tour, even though they're going to play this week, are going to hit a ball out of bounds still. It'll still happen. They're not trying to, but it still happens.
No, I understand that. I think that there's also club limitation of, hey, this club might spray a little bit wider. I'm not going to take this club. I'm going to take an L, hit a shorter tee shot, and we're going to play for an up and down par. And if I double an error, and if I two putt and it's a bogey, or if I three putt, dare I say, and it's a double bogey, again, I can double bogey 9 holes and I can bogey 9 holes, not get a single par and shoot 99. That's a 99.
I think that's the best case scenario. And I don't think you're going in there and shooting best case scenario. Like, I think that's as good as I could humanly.
Best case scenario is like an 85, but that's not happening.
I think that's like, I honestly think that is a, like the.
I'm not underestimating. I know how difficult it's going to be. I get that. But
for
the entirety of everything, if you play your shots correctly, it all comes down to, okay, how do you navigate the greens? Are you used to the 12 on the stint? What, you know, are all of those things that go into it, which is the same way that all of golf is. It's 75%, if not more, around the greens. It always comes back to that.
But so when you mentioned like the bogey and double bogey, are you considering the hole that is absolutely going to happen? And I think we have to agree on this, that you're in the bunker and it takes you like 11 to get it in the hole. That you're like in the bunker and you overshoot the green and then you're off the green again and then you four putt and it took you 3 shots to get in. Are you just thinking that hole never exists for you at Augusta?
No, but I also think 150 yards into 12, I feel comfortable hitting 150 yard 9-iron shot approaching a green. I know that it's aim in corner, but 150 yards, 150 yards. We're talking hole 4 where it's like 210.
Sure, but let's say you par obviously. That one. That you still got an 11 on the other one. That's not a double. That's a quadruple, septuple bogey. I mean, I just don't think like you're going to get enough pars to erase the twice in the entire round where like the meltdown hole occurs. You put it OB twice. You got to re-tee after putting it out of bounds and you three putt and you shoot a 9 or a 10 or an 11 on the hole.
Again, I can say until I'm blue in the face, I don't think that's going to happen. And you guys can say, well, it's definitely going to happen. And until I go and I play Augusta National, which is not going to happen, we technically are never going to know.
Yes, you are. That is a factually correct statement. But I could also say, like, I can hit a home run. And until you see me not do it in the big leagues, then you can't tell me I can't do it.
Wait, hold on.
You can't tell me I can't do it, Drew. Until I don't do it
a month.
Until I do it, until I get my opportunity in the big leagues, you can't tell me I can't hit a home run in the big leagues.
I understand, but you saying
that's basically, it's very
it is
crazy.
You saying that is similar to what you told me Speck said he could beat Maya Moore in one-on-one. That's an egregious
just
level.
Just because you can go out and play.
Ridiculous.
The reason why people like golf is because you can go in golf and you can feel like you could do the exact same thing as Tiger Woods. I get it. That's what appeals to for a lot of golf people. And you're right. Like, I'm obviously joking about the big leagues, but that also is
Gold
like...
Gold does not actually think he can hit
a home
run.
No, right? I do not. Yes. I just say like you...
Nor should any of us.
I don't know what the last year, if you go to look at the leaderboard, how many golfers shot over 8 over after the first round?
Oh, after one round, I doubt that any of them shot over... There may be a few that shot like 82, 83. Again, that's an 80... That is 17 shots better than a 99.
But you think you're within 17 shots of a professional golfer?
That sucked on one day? Potentially.
I don't know, man. I
if you're talking about a pro golfer playing conceivably the worst round that they've ever shot before... I'm within 17 shots of that, and that means, again, that means I have to play really well. Yes, I'm not saying that I can shoot an 85 at Augusta. I have to play really damn well to shoot a 99. But if you get, I feel confident in my ability that on a good day, on a really good day, I can break 100. It's not impossible for me to do.
Impossible's tough, because then you're giving
again,
me more...
Again, if we're taking my best...
You're giving me slightly best, more leeway.
If you're taking Drew Nixon's best on the golf course, I can break 100 at Augusta National. Again, that's not as good as some golfers' worst at Augusta National.
The worst golfer last year shot an 82.
Yeah, we're not comparing myself to Dustin Johnson, who shot an 80. He might have been the guy that shot 82, actually, in that first round last year. He missed the cut.
It wasn't him. He shot a 78. But that's the thing, Drew. I don't think you're within 22 shots of a professional golfer. Like, we've all
on
seen
their
professional
worst day.
You should
on
go try to get
day.
In a. You should go try to get in like a pro am or something here very soon. Then
I know. Right, let's start going. I'm about to email the Corn Ferry Tour.
Let's go
and see if we can just get you on their course at their distances again. The day before. And I'm not even sure you're getting 100 there.
I know, again, but we see every single year, and I'm not comparing myself to this person or these individuals because I'm not nearly as good as them, but we see amateurs all the time who play better than the guys that have won majors before, and they've never touched Augusta. So are we going to say the same thing about them? No, we're not, because they're, again, they're amateur golfers, just the same as anybody who qualifies for the PGA.
Those amateurs might have won.
Professional golfers.
Some of those amateurs might have actually won like an amateur championship or something like that. No offense.
They're like they're not like an even handicap, man. They're like a minus six or, you know, like,
I know.
I think we're not considering that they are like on their normal day and on your normal day. They are
immensely
15
better than
shots better than you.
They're immensely better than me. Correct. Again, but as I said, on somebody's worst day.
Here we go, Drew. Perfect. Someone says they run the Corn Ferry qualifier here in KC. Come play in the Monday qualifier. Take off work next Monday, and we'll get someone to fill in.
On Monday? I swear to God, I'll get it covered if you go play the Corn Ferry.
Go try to qualify. Qualify.
I'll take the day off and I'll caddy for you, dude. I'll carry your bag. I will carry your bag the whole course, 18 holes. I'll go out there the day before on Sunday and I'll walk the course. I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I'll mark it down on foot.
I'll do live play-by-play of this.
Yeah. What do you think I'd shoot?
I think you'd shoot 105.
I don't even know what course this is.
Because, again, there's no preparation in this in terms of, I'm literally just showing up to the golf course.
I don't know where the qualifier is at. Whoever texted it in, tell me where the qualifier is. I can look it up, I guess, but let us know.
It's May 12th. We got a couple of weeks.
Okay. We've got a month. Got a month.
And again,
I've been to the Corn Ferry Tour.
Look,
let's see where it is.
I'll be totally honest. I would probably shoot.
Blue Hills Country Club.
Okay, so I would probably show up if we're playing from that distance. I wouldn't be surprised if I shot 105 because, again, I'm saying if I play at my best.
I know, man.
I think I can break 100.
I don't think so.
At Augusta National.
I don't think if you can't break 100 at the Blue Hills Country Club.
And that's still much worse than a pro golfer's worst, as I know. Like, if I'm taking my best. If you gave me time to prepare and you gave me time on the range and all those things to grind it out and get ready to go, at my best.
Now, qualifying's not May 12th because the Advent Health Championship is May 12th. So the qualifying's got to be earlier than that.
I think it might be Monday.
Oh, is it Monday of the tournament?
I think it might be this Monday.
This Monday.
Qualify for the tournament on May 12th.
Okay. All right.
We got to spec if we can all take the day.
Let's all go out to Blue Hills.
Let's get out.
Let's go.
If they'll let Drew play it, we don't have to pay anything. I'll absolutely put him in the Corn Ferry qualifier.
There we go. Qualifiers at Falcon Lakes. Tournament is Blue Hills.
Okay. So we got to see what he plays at Falcon Lakes.
Played there, Drew?
No, I'm actually going to the course opposite of...
Falcon Lakes is in KCK, not far from you.
Well, it's a full 1,000 yards shorter, man. So
I'm playing Dubs Dread tomorrow, which is like opposite of whatever road that is of Falcon Lakes. It's actually right by there.
I've played Falcon Lakes before. I actually have. I did. I'm confident I shot a very bad score.
How amazing would it be if you qualified for the Corn Ferry tournament in Kansas City?
Then we'd all have to eat crow forever, man.
It'd be hilarious.
Are you kidding?
It'd be amazing.
Speaking of the real Masters, by the way, you guys got people you think are going to win?
Let's talk about the real people, please. Who do you think is going to win? Pros, you know?
So, like, everyone's got their picks, and some of them are, you know, like, if you say Scheffler, I'm not even going to argue with you because, that's probably not the worst pick. The most fascinating thing I think I'll find about this is I like Morikawa. I think Gold, you like Morikawa. Yeah. So, like, we're both kind of, like, on him a little bit. But none of us, in discussing this before the show, and we can give our answers in a minute, even brought up Rory. He just won the Players.
Pick.
He just won the Players. He's playing good golf. Is it just because Rory chokes?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to be
Rory
in the
chokes,
mix.
So we just think he's going to choke?
It's a confident bet that he's going to be in the mix. I just can it come together for four rounds? And can he do it on Sunday if he's in position? I'm skeptical. From a betting thing, just the odds, you don't get great value on betting him. I also like Morikawa, as you said. Long shot of long shots. Shane Lowry, 40-1.
You like the Irishman. You've done this before.
You like Rory's playing partner.
It's Shane Lowry. The last time I bet on him was when he was playing overseas at your favorite course
at the Open Championship.
That's right. So that was when, and there was reasons for that one. This one, look, top three finish in 2022. Finish inside the top 20 in four straight starts. That's why I'm going Lowry at 40-1 as a long shot.
I'm going a little bit different than you guys. I'm going to go Xander Schauffele for the exact same reason, actually very similar. So Collins got three top 10s in a row. Xander Schauffele also in that category of top 10s in a row. He's finished runner-up before. I think Xander he's been very good there, just hasn't quite been able to you know, get over the hump. Yeah, I think Xander will be there. Interesting that none of us took Scotty. I don't think Scotty would be that great of a bet just because
it's the only major he's won. So if you're choosing it, if you're choosing him to win a major, why wouldn't it be the Masters? We think it's Scotty Scheffler, and he is the best golfer on the planet. But he has not had the major run that Spieth had, that Koepka had, that some of these other great golfers had. He's won the Masters twice and no other major.
It was
so
amazing.
Like, if I'm
going to
pick him
that.
To win it, the Masters is not crazy.
Because we Googled it before, it was crazy. I thought that he had at least three, but he only has those two. And,
I thought he had like four.
Said,
I mean, yeah, he wins so much, I would have just assumed he had four majors.
The way that he's played has been obviously just spectacular over the last couple seasons, for sure. And if there's a dark horse, I like Corey Connors.
I'll give my long shots bet later, but yeah, I don't mind Connors. That's a pretty decent one.
That's just to, I have other ones, but that's just to win outright. And yeah,
you're
we have
all in on this. You're as soon as it gets to a major week, you're as all in as anybody
why
else
not?
Going. Yeah. I love
it. It's the only time I'll watch the majors. That's about it. But we did reach back out to the individual. We'll see about the Korn Ferry qualifying.
Lowry, by the way, he was really likable in Full Swing.
Okay.
There was an episode between him and Rory and their friendship, and they played in that golf tournament together where you have a teammate and, like, there was a little backstory for how long they've known each other. Really likable. Really likable guy in that.
Yeah, someone says, breaking 100 at Falcon Lake's not hard. That can't be the cider. No. It's not whether Drew can break 100 at Falcon Lake's. It's whether he can qualify for the Korn Ferry, too.
Wait, which, again, I will tell you this.
I don't know what the top number
is. I don't think anybody's arguing.
I hope it's your day. I hope it's your day, because then it's like,
amazing.
I could shoot the best score that I've ever shot before, and I'm still not qualifying for the Korn Ferry.
No, but if you
be very clear.
I don't even know, but that's the question.
I could shoot 3 under, and I probably don't qualify.
What's the best round of your life?
Best round of my life is 71, 1 under par.
Okay, 1 under par. All right.
And which is not touching qualification for the Korn Ferry Tour. There's guys that play in that tournament.
But you could break 100 at Augusta.
There's guys that are gonna shoot. I don't know what par is.
I mean, Scheffler played on the Korn Ferry. There are plenty of incredible golfers on that tour.
Golf is just as a lot like basketball, where there are people who never get their shot. There are D2 golfers that are way miles better than a D1 golfer that never get a shot. Golf is just like basketball.
We're going to get Drew into Q school, actually.
No, you're not.
He's going to get him into Q school and everything. He's going to quit his job producing this show. Next thing you know, he's going to be at the Masters in like 5 years.
Do yourself a favor.
If you told me I could do that, that'd be awesome. But there is a 0.0% chance I qualify for Q school, Korn Ferry Tour, any of that.
Do yourself a favor and watch. This is the exact situation. Watch the videos of these guys who you said it's just like basketball. It's like, some of these guys, they can play in the league, man. They just don't know it. Go ahead and do yourself a favor and go through a YouTube montage of Brian Scalabrine playing these people who play D1, who 100%. Think they could have played in the league, and watch him beat them all 10 to nothing. He was like a 0.5 points per game player in the NBA.
He beats everybody. Yeah.
He beats everybody
crazy.
10 nothing.
Yep.
Like, that's what I think would happen here.
All right, up next, we'll get back to some Royals baseball. You want to talk Jack? Let's talk about Jack Caglione and what J.J. Piccolo told us yesterday about potentially the path for him to get not just to the big leagues, but let's start with getting to AAA. That's coming up next.